Hello and welcome to the Football Hour podcast. I am Alex Mearns, and I know, lovely, loyal listener, that I have not been there for you. In the past couple of months, I've been away, like a father who left his child with the mother, but the mother doesn't do podcasts. I haven't been there, have I? It's Alex Mearns, of course, and I'm just doing this opening link to apologise. We have not been providing you, the loyal listener, with the content you deserve. And that is because, well, a few key reasons. Me and Dom have been doing our dissertations, finishing our third year. Yes, I did very well, thank you for asking. And the Football Hour, for me at least, has moved to an actual Football Hour live show. It's for Spectrum Sino Radio. They're a London DAB station, and you can get them on www.sino.uk. And I do the show now, the Football Hour. It's not a podcast, it's an hour long, Tuesdays, 7 till 8. So that is why I've been away. I've been doing that. But I came up with the idea of, well, just using that audio for the podcast stream that you're still subscribed to. So, as I say, I'm sorry for what's happened. I should have been there for you. But I say it's because I've got a new show on Spectrum Sino, but really it's because Leeds failed to make the playoffs and Dom's team, Fulham, didn't fail to make the playoffs. They did fail to get promoted, but they did make the playoffs, and I felt like I can't handle Dom's stick, let's say, because he would have really rubbed it in. And it's still very, very... it's a touchy subject, okay? And Gary Monk's left, so why would I want to do football podcasts? But, as I say, if you want to listen to the Football Hour, I'm still presenting it 7pm till 8pm on sino.uk, on the computer, on your phone, on your laptop, whatever, or if you're in London, DAB, switch it to Spectrum Sino. So, here it is. There's going to be a few new jingles that you've not heard before on the Football Hour podcast, but it's just normal. It's just me chatting about football. Also, listen to the very end. I did a very close score prediction for the France-England game earlier this week. It's great. It's great to be back doing the Football Hour podcast, releasing stuff for you. You know what? Thank you for staying subscribed.
For the next hour, Alex Mearns is talking football on Spectrum Sino. Welcome to the Football Hour.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Football Hour. I am Alex Mearns, and over the next hour, we'll be discussing all that has happened over the course of the weekend. And what a weekend of football it was. Who said summer was going to be boring without football? Well, congratulations to England, who won the World Cup. Now, don't worry, don't adjust your radio stations. England's under-20s won the World Cup. We have not travelled back to 1966. Yeah, on Sunday, the young England team did our country proud, and honestly, it was a joy to watch them lift that trophy. Now, football fans, should we get excited about the actual England team winning the actual World Cup in a few years with these players? I wouldn't hold your breath. We all know, however good of a player these England under-20 boys are, and some of them seriously look good, we all know as soon as they get into the men's first team, they develop the curse. You know the curse, don't you? The curse of England, which turns good players into scared and very incapable footballers as soon as they play. We couldn't even beat Scotland at the weekend, could we? I'm only joking. All our Scottish listeners, I'm only joking. You will agree that on Saturday, England versus Scotland at Hampden Park, it was seriously a case of two awful teams playing, wasn't it? Two bad teams performing badly. Well, that was until the 85th minute when the match got turned upside down, and wow, what a finale. Sometimes the footballing gods reward us loyal football fans. You listen to the Football Hour, you watch the football, and you're thinking, is this worth it? Is this all worth it? Look at this match. I'm watching two rubbish teams play a rubbish football match. But no, the football gods go, if you just wait around, Alex, I will give you two amazing free kicks and a last-minute equaliser. Well, football gods, thank you so much.
Better than a last-minute winner away from home. The Football Hour on Spectrum Sino.
Former Leicester boss Claudio Ranieri is, drumroll please, the new manager of French top-flight side Nantes, which, interesting move for him. It's sort of a club sort of similar to Leicester. Don't do too well in Ligue 1, but will he go to Ligue 1 and win Ligue 1 like he won the Premier League with Leicester? I hope so. He's a legend, isn't he, Claudio Ranieri? Leeds, we're on the search for a new manager, and I would have loved, if it would have been a dream to have Claudio Ranieri at Leeds United, but it sounds like he's off to France and he's leaving me. So that's fine, Claudio. It's all right, mate. You enjoy France. It is understood that Premier League side Everton have agreed a £30 million fee for Sunderland goalkeeper Jordan Pickford. This lad's only made 29 top-flight appearances last season, but he's joining Everton for £30 million. This is ridiculous. A few years ago, £30 million got you Drogba. It got you Benzema. Now you're getting a goalkeeper which has just been relegated with Sunderland. This is mind-blowing. This guy's not the England goalkeeper yet. He's not done anything really in the game other than being in net when Sunderland have got relegated. I will state, I am a massive fan of Jordan Pickford. His distribution with his feet is just as good as his catching ability, his saving ability. But £30 million, wow, I was thinking, half that fee? We've got to remember, we're only in June. We're midway through June. If a player like that is going for £30 million, that sets a precedent for this summer to be money, money, money. Seriously, there's going to be so much cash flying around these Premier League clubs. This transfer window, it's going to be worrying, isn't it? It's very scary. So, the England manager, Gareth Southgate, says he will experiment in today's game against Paris. He's already confirmed that goalkeepers Tom Heaton and Jack Butland will play a half each. Well, that's very kind of you, isn't it, Gareth? It's the last game before the summer break with England not in action again till September. Honestly, that's not the worst thing in the world. But the England manager, Gareth Southgate, says the long-term development of the team is always in his mind. Well, so it should be, mate.
You want to come out of a friendly having learnt things from the game. And there's no point in not having a look at some players, putting them into the environment that you want to test them in, whether that's from the beginning or from the bench.
Well, yes, I guess. But you don't want to make too many changes. We're playing France in France. We don't want to embarrass ourselves, Gareth. I'm sure we won't. I'm sure whoever comes in, they'll do all right. They're not going to be brilliant. They're England players, aren't they? So they're not going to be elite world-class. But a player who is elite world-class is Real Madrid striker Cristiano Ronaldo, who has been accused of tax fraud. A Spanish prosecutor alleges he's guilty of avoiding paying nearly £13 million from 2011 to 2014, has filed a lawsuit against CR7. Ronaldo's obviously previously denied any wrongdoing in his tax affairs, but he is the latest player in Spain to be targeted. As we all know, last year, Barca star Lionel Messi was found guilty of tax offences last year, but because he's Lionel Messi, avoided a prison sentence. This is serious, serious news, isn't it? How would Ronaldo do behind bars? I'm sure he'd be in a very, very comfy prison. But it's shocking, though, isn't it, that these players are being accused of these things? We think that these guys are just footballers. But in other news, back in England, Man City's former technical director, Mike Rigg, says the club have got to keep an eye on wage budget this summer. Well, as I was saying last week, they've released Bakary Sagna, Gael Clichy, Zabaleta, Jesus Navas. So obviously they want to get some dead weight off the wage bill. But all the news stories are that Alexis Sanchez is going to Man City for, what, is it £300,000 a week? So they can't be sticking too rigid with their wage structure. But as I say, Mike Rigg has been telling Sky Sports News that's their one aim that City have in mind.
They've got to fit in with financial fair play. All of them players will be on significant wages. They are at their peak in terms of the salaries that they've been earning. So this is a great opportunity for them to reduce, you know, several players into maybe two or three.
I think that's actually a good point, the several players into two or three, because the players that I named just before Mr. Rigg started speaking, Mr. Rigg, he's He's not a teacher of mine. I don't know why I called him Mr. Rigg. Mike Rigg. Maybe Man City have had too much similar players and they need to get a bit of dead wood out. And if they get those players out, seriously, I think they should be going for players like Alexis Sanchez, because they've been, in recent years, spending sort of a lot of money, say 15, 20 million pounds on players that they've not needed, sort of Jovetic, well, going back a few years, Balotelli, Delf, as we said, Clichy. These players, they can get gone, really. And if you get rid of three of them players who don't make a massive difference to your squad, bring in an Alexis Sanchez. Three times £100,000 a week makes 300 grand a week. And if that's what Alexis Sanchez wants, maybe give him the contract. Team that have just been promoted to the Premier League and won't be spending wages like that, Brighton, and their winger says they want one of the big sides in their opening Premier League game after the summer. Well, don't worry, mate. The great thing about the Premier League is, Jamie, you get to play them all, so you don't need to get too excited. The fixtures are released tomorrow. It's Brighton's first ever season in the top flight of the Premier League, and Murphy told our friends at Sky Sports News that he is really excited about who he can get when the fixtures come out.
You look for all the big teams first and your rivals, so the games against Crystal Palace are obviously big ones for the club and the fans. And for me, probably more the Northern games and Man United's Liverpool's, so some friends and family can come down and watch.
In international news, back on international news, France manager Didier Deschamps says he is not surprised Monaco's teenage striker Kylian Mbappe is attracting interest from the Premier League. The forward could feature against England in tonight's friendly, which you have all agreed you'll wait until the end of the football hour to go and watch. But Mbappe's been linked with everyone, basically. Everyone apart from, well, anyone outside the top six, really. But he's been linked to United, Arsenal, Liverpool. But Deschamps, the French national team manager, says he's just the latest in a long line of promising French youngsters.
French football always has had a good reputation on training youth. Maybe because our championships here are much more open to younger players getting game time. There are also many differences on the financial terms, with England having much more financial means than France.
Yeah, and will England's financial means bring him to the Premier League next season? I sincerely hope so.
Spectrum Sino's new transfer is revealed. The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.
And this is Pick of the Goss. What is Pick of the Goss? Well, hold tight, lovely listeners, because I'll tell you. If you're a football fan, the BBC gossip column is awash with some of the craziest transfer rumours and speculation from throughout the football world. I know, and you know, don't you, lovely football friend? Every morning you get into work, you're feeling okay, you're feeling a bit tired. You respond to those, you know, them boring emails from Tracy in HR. Then, football friend, you have a decision to make, don't you? I know you do. That's why I came up with the feature. Should you crack on with some proper work, or should you waste 10 minutes scrolling the BBC gossip column to see where Antoine Griezmann is supposedly transferring to for, what is it now, about 3.2 billion? It's normally Manchester United, but some news here. Apparently he's signed a long contract with Atletico, so we're not going to be hearing that story anymore. But as I said, I know, and you know, it's always the BBC gossip column. You never email Tracy back in HR. You always go on the BBC gossip column. Now the season is over and the transfer gossip gets even more ridiculous, I decided I will do a chart show countdown of the 10 most craziest, most ridiculous, most incomprehensible transfer rumours from the BBC gossip column. Are you ready, Goss Pickers? Because here is our top 10. In at number 10, the Daily Mirror report Alexis Sanchez fears the Gunners will block him moving to Manchester City, leaving Bayern Munich as the only option. At number 9 in the charts, don't worry Arsenal fans, because The Telegraph state the Gunners have been told to pay £48 million plus £10 million in add-ons if they want to sign Alexander Lacazette from France. Well, at number 8, our friends at Sky Sports say Championship side Aston Villa are keen to sign former Chelsea and England captain JT John Terry. Well, enjoy the Championship, John. Straight in at 7, the always reliable sports team at The Sun report Chelsea could make a £45 million move for Napoli striker Lorenzo Inzaghi if they lose Eden Hazard to Real Madrid. Was that a bit loud, the jingle? At 6, Everton are eyeing a move for Pogba. No, not that one. His older brother, Florentine Pogba from Saint Etienne. Into the top 5. Well, our friends at the London Evening Standard say Chelsea are not willing to meet the £70 million asking price for Real Madrid midfielder James Rodriguez. At 4, Reading manager Jaap Stam is on Leeds' shortlist as they search for a new manager. Just pick someone, Leeds, please. At number 3, The Express say Liverpool are ready to make a last attempt to stop midfielder Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain from signing a new 100 grand a week contract with Arsenal. We're reaching the end here. At number 2, The Daily Star are making stuff up again, saying Alvaro Morata has urged Gareth Bale to join him in making the switch from Real Madrid to Manchester United this summer. And our number one goss is Leicester winger Riyad Mahrez has an offer from Arsenal, but is apparently waiting for a rival bid from Barcelona, his preferred destination. Get your breath back, Alex. What did you think of our chart show countdown, football friends? I certainly had to, you know, reach to the lower ends of my lungs to get some breath there, but that was the pick of the Goss Chart Show, and there were some amazing stories in there from the BBC Gossip column. I just counted down the top 10.
Like football? You'll love this. The Football Hour on Spectrum Sino.
Now, we're coming back to that feature I love doing, Pick of the Goss. Oh, it's a pleasure hearing that Pick of the Pops theme tune underneath it, isn't it? So, what I did, instead of Pick of the Pops, we're not doing a chart show rundown because, well, that'd just be filled up with Ed Sheeran and, well, it's Ed Sheeran, isn't it? He's the one in the charts. So, instead of pop stars, I filled the chart show with BBC's most craziest, most weirdest gossip column entries from the BBC Sports Gossip column. And our number 10 was that the Daily Mirror report Alexis Sanchez fears that Arsenal will block him moving to Manchester City. He thinks if they block his move to Manchester City, it will only leave him with Bayern Munich as the only option. Honestly, fair play to Arsenal. Do not let Alexis Sanchez go to Man City. If you're listening to me, Arsene Wenger, Stan Kroenke, don't let him go. You saw what happened when you let Van Persie go to Man United. Man United won the league the next season. And Arsenal fans do not want to see one of their own winning the Premier League unless it's in an Arsenal shirt, I assure you. So that is why that was in at number 10. Number 9. It's Arsenal, 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 this chat, isn't it? The Daily Telegraph state the Gunners have been told to pay upwards of £50 million for Alexander Lacazette, the Lyon striker. They could have got him for £40 million 2 years ago. Wasn't that the asking price? I know inflation's happened, but why didn't you just go, if you wanted your man, go for him 2 years ago? It seems like just rehashed news story there. Sky Sports said Championship side Aston Villa are keen to sign Chelsea and England captain John Terry. John Terry's apparently asking for 100k a week. If Villa can afford that in the Championship, well, my team, Leeds United, have got no chance. We pay tuppence compared to that. At number 7, as I said, the always reliable sports team at the Sun newspaper say Chelsea will go for Insigne, the Napoli striker, if Eden Hazard moves to Real Madrid. They look the same. I'm not sure they're a similar quality. Eden Hazard is the player you want in the Chelsea team at the start of next season. after he gets better from his injury. Chelsea fans, I don't think they're going to sell him. I think you're going to be fine. At number six, as I say, Everton are going to move for Pogba. Not the Man United Pogba, but his brother, Florentin Pogba, from the French club Saint-Étienne. I know absolutely nothing about him. Hopefully he doesn't dab like his brother, and hopefully he won't cost as much, because if he costs as much, I think Everton need to remortgage. Into the top five, London Evening Standard say Chelsea are not willing to meet the 70 mil asking price for James Rodriguez. I think they should. If they want to go big on one player, I think they should go for James Rodriguez. I think the Chelsea forward line miss a bit of creativity in between the midfield and attack. Eden Hazard, Pedro play quite up the field. I think someone in behind Costa, if it is Costa, I think would be great. I think they should go for Rodriguez if they've got 70 mil lying about. But it's Abramovich we're talking about, so he could just, you know, check his sofa and find 70 mil. At number four, oh God, the chat I don't want to keep talking about. Reading manager Yap Stam is on Leeds shortlist for a manager. That's all it's saying. Do I want Yap Stam? Does he play great football? I'd take anyone at the moment. Hurry up. The Leeds owner, please hurry up. I want a manager. Gary Monk's joined Middlesbrough, made me cry in the press conference. Why did you leave me, Gary? Right, why did you leave me, Gary? Enough of that. Come on, composure, Alex. At number three, the Daily Express say Liverpool are going to make a last-ditch attempt to stop Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain from signing a new contract with Arsenal. Do Liverpool need Oxlade-Chamberlain? He's a good player. Do Arsenal. He sits on their bench most of the time. He's a good player. He just needs to play. Just needs to play that boy, Danny. Right, our number two. The ever-reliable Daily Star. Oh, where do you get your stories from, boys? Well, they're making news stories up again because they say Alvaro Morata has urged Gareth Bale to join him in making the switch from Real Madrid to Man United this summer. Firstly, Morata's not gone to Man United. Secondly, what is that? Like, how would that happen? Are the Daily Star watching Morata and Bale's WhatsApps and texts going, oh, Gareth, you should definitely join me to Man United? And who is Alvaro Morata? He's not a Man United. He's not the Man United manager. He's not the Man United chief executive. So he can't really sort a move out for Gareth Bale. So I think you should leave that one alone, kid. And then our number one gossip is that Riyad Mahrez is waiting for Barcelona to come and sign him and is holding up Arsenal. Well, lads, I think you're going to be waiting by the phone a long time if you want Barcelona to ring you. But that is the Top 10 Chart Show Gossip Column.
Spectrum Sino's new transfer is revealed. The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.
Tell me how proud you were of these young England players on Sunday when they won the World Cup. It was a joy, wasn't it? I keep saying it was a joy to watch these players play football, enjoy football as it should be, not scared of money or what people are going to say about them. It was just they were playing because they love football, weren't they? They were seriously doing it for that reason. If you don't know, the England under-20 football team became the first England squad since Bobby Moore, since Bobby Charlton, to win a World Cup. Yes, it may have been at an England under-20s tournament, but that's not their fault, is it, that no one else has done it? They went and did it. I'm so proud of them. And their boss, Paul Simpson, he had this to say after the victory.
It's something that they've been building for since they got together with the 17, as under-17s. They've worked incredibly hard. When they qualified in the semi-finals last summer of the Euros, they obviously got them through to the Worlds. And they said then, we want to win the World Cup. Simple as that.
And they did. Well done. The person lifting that trophy was Bournemouth midfielder Lewis Cook. And I don't want to sound too bitter or say this with too many tears, but it was horrible to watch him lift that World Cup, because this is a guy who was brought up in the Leeds Academy, played for the Leeds football team. He made about 40 appearances, not last season, the season before now, and we sold him to Bournemouth for £6 million. And as you saw in the final, anyone who watched it, this guy's world class. He's going to be world class. He's a brilliant midfielder, loves to get his foot in, doesn't slide in. He's not a Lee Catamol. He likes to put his foot in front, win the ball back and drive. Drive from his own half into the opposition's half. And we sold him for £6 million. What a stupid, stupid mistake that was. But he went on and performed miracles. Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored the winning goal for England. And he's at Everton. Everton love bringing through their youngsters. And this is the next form of inquiry. Are these players going to play? My suggestion to these players are, don't do what Loftus-Cheek's doing at Chelsea. Don't sit on a bench. Don't do what... I can't remember his name now. But you know these players, these good England players, they're on good contracts at their club. You know, the guys at Arsenal, so Ojo, who played at the weekend, he's at Liverpool. Go out and play. If your manager is not going to give you a game every single week or every other match, go and play in the Championship. Lewis Cook did it for Leeds. He played 40 games in one season as an 18-year-old, and it is done in the power of good. It's seriously done in the power of good. You need to go and play, otherwise you don't develop. If you look at the last team to win the World Cup at under-20 level, it was France. They had Paul Pogba, Kurt Zouma. Players like this, they play for their clubs. You need to go and play, lads, but for the time being, enjoy what you've done. This country's proud of you. It's an amazing, amazing achievement. It's England versus France. It should be exciting. It's not really that exciting. The great thing about this match is that there's going to be planned tributes to the London and Manchester terror attacks, which sadly happened a couple of weeks ago. So England are going to hopefully commemorate the people who we lost in those attacks at this match, which is a brilliant thing, and it shouldn't be underestimated. Well done to the England football team and the French national football team for organising that. The teams, if you're interested in the teams, Tom Heaton, the Burnley keeper, starts in goal. Then in our defence, Cahill, John Stones and Phil Jones. We're playing a back three, I guess. Kieran Trippier on the right wing back. Then in the middle, Oxlade-Chamberlain, is it? Dyer, Bertrand on the left, and then Kane, Ali and Sterling up front. Strange one by Gareth Southgate. Did he play three at the back against Spain in one of his early matches in charge? But it's the in thing, isn't it, to play three at the back at the moment? Chelsea did so well, and then at the end of the season, Arsenal fans, yeah, you like to say it, you did actually quite well with the three at the back. So, England, six changes from the match against Scotland, which was, as I said at the start of the show, it was diabolical, wasn't it, for the first 85 minutes. Then, Lee Griffiths, my son, wow, you have got a wand of a left foot, and you did two spells straight after one another with two marvellous free kicks, which sort of sparks life into the match, and Harry Kane got a really amazing equaliser at the end. A long punt by Sterling. Well, you could say it was a punt. It was a marvellous pass. If Iniesta did that pass, we'd be saying it was a pass. So, Sterling, it was a pass, mate, of course. And then Harry Kane, I was thinking, Harry, just put your nut on it. Put your head on it. Go on, throw your body at it. And he's waiting. It's going in slow-mo. And he just puts his foot in. Keeper did rubbish again. The keeper was rubbish all game, wasn't he? Craig Gordon, the Scottish goalkeeper. So, this England match, are we bothered? That's the question. Why are we playing a friendly now in the middle of the summer? We talk about players being tired when it comes to February, March in the Premier League. Seriously, I know these guys earn a lot of money. I think a lot of football fans are going to disagree with me here. They do, I think, work hard during the season. And the season is now finished. We've played our World Cup qualifier against Scotland. Let the lads have a holiday now, because they'll be back in training in 3 or 4 weeks. I know 3 or 4 weeks sounds an awful lot of time, but these guys are professional athletes who train and play all season. They need the time off if they're going to be fit and firing when we need them, when English teams need them in the Champions League when it's late Feb, and next year there's a World Cup in Russia. We don't need to be playing this friendly. We seriously don't. But as soon as I get home, I will be watching it. So I guess that's the reason we're playing the friendly, I guess. So France-England. What is my score prediction with less than 5 minutes to go? I'm going to go high scoring, 3-2 England. Shall I go Harry Kane hat-trick? I'm going to go Harry Kane hat-trick, and I don't care who scores for France. So that's my prediction. How silly. I'm meant to be a football expert, and I just did a silly, silly, silly guess. But you never know. Stick a tenner on it. I don't advise that. Don't stick a tenner on it, because I won't be.
Better than a last-minute winner away from home. The Football Hour on Spectrum Sino.
There you go, lovely, loyal football friend, Football Hour podcast listener. You will have done very well if you are listening to this part of the podcast, because this is right at the very end. You must be a seriously loyal listener to be at this point. So I'm going to provide my lovely, loyal listener with a bit of extra content, which you didn't hear on the Football Hour because, well, the game hadn't started yet. But how close was I with that Harry Kane hat-trick 3-2 England? It was 3-2 France, obviously. England lost another tight game again, despite getting a penalty and Varane sent off early in the second half. As I said on the show, it was a really needless, pointless game. You're playing Kyle Walker left back. You've got Phil Jones as part of a back three. What have we learnt other than we're still a bit crap at football? That's what we've learnt. We saw in the Spain friendly a couple of months ago, one of Gareth Southgate's first games, we went 2-0 up and still managed to draw the game 2-2. What are England doing? Because we're not developing like we saw with the England under-21s. They went a goal in front in the final and held on. England can't seem to hold on to a lead. We even saw it against Iceland back in the tournament a year ago. Didn't we take the lead with a Wayne Rooney penalty? What are we doing, lads? Sort it out. It's disheartening to know that we don't win tight games. We just can't seemingly do it. So, and that's my England chat. It was a good friendly, but it was needless because I want our players to recover for next season. I want the Premier League side to do as well as they possibly can in the Champions League and for the England players to do well in the tournament in a year's time. So, there's the podcast. If you like it, follow me on Twitter, please. Please. Follow me on Twitter. It's at Alex Mearns, M-E-A-R-N-S, 7. At Alex Mearns 7. Tweet me. And just say, Alex, I'm buzzing the podcast is back. Because then I'll know to keep doing it and that you're enjoying it. And if not, do you know what? I'm doing the show, as I say, on Spectrum Sino. Listen every Tuesday between 7 and 8 online. I'll tweet it from my Twitter account. But I know there are loyal podcast listeners out there who don't like listening to stuff live. They want to listen to it on demand when they want to. So I will keep doing this for you. If you tweet me at AlexMearns7 saying, Alex, I'm buzzing the Football Hour's back. Say the words buzzing, okay? And that'll make me buzzing. All right, it's been brilliant to be back chatting to you. I'm going to try and get Dom back and we'll do a few more podcasts over the summer. I promise you, okay? Deal? Right, it's gone. Oh, I love this Football Hour podcast. Right, I'll see you very shortly. I'll post a podcast next week when I do the show. All right, see ya. Bye.